while the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Amen. You may be seated.
Alrighty. Good singing tonight. Appreciate that. I just want to share a few thoughts with you tonight before we go into our prayer groups. And that would be dealing with people that we know that have reasons that they think in their mind why they cannot be a Christian. And I'm going to show you some verses that maybe you can take a note of that would be helpful to you in talking to people. I think some people want to be saved but feel they have situations that stand in the way. And so hopefully we can be of help to show them of their need. Did you ever talk to someone who said, I'd be a Christian, but I'm just too bad a sinner. I'm a great sinner. God could never forgive me. And that is a common expression that some people use. Like you look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I used this recently in witnessing to a gentleman that had this idea also. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15. I'm too great a sinner. God could never forgive me. Well, we could show them verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which I am chief. And Paul said, I was the worst sinner, I'm a bad one, and that's the reason that Christ came into the world. And so don't think that your sins are too great, for that God cannot forgive you. If we also look at Matthew chapter 9, along this same line, Matthew chapter 9, and verses 12 and 13, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Go ye and learn what that meaneth, and I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so this shows that a person's sins are not an obstacle in coming to Christ, but it fits them for coming to Christ. I was reading about a man who asked for prayer during invitation. And after church service, he was out the door pretty quickly. And the pastor was trying to get to him before he got out the door and put his hand on his back and said, you asked for prayer this morning. Why are you leaving? We'll be glad to talk to you. And he says, Pastor, I'm the worst kind of person. God would never forgive me. I'm a thief. Not only am I a thief, I'm probably the worst thief in this city. There's someone that breaks into houses and things like that, and I don't think that God loves me. He couldn't possibly love me. So the pastor said, well, let's look at Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6 through 8. And so they turned there, and if you'd like to turn there, it's a good verse for those in a similar situation and think that they're beyond hope. Romans 5, 6 through 8. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that shows the love of God, that God loves everyone, no matter how bad they think that they are. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that those verses spoke to this gentleman's heart and got through to him. Someone has who has taken a life maybe or murdered someone may think that they're beyond God's love. That's an excellent verse to show to someone. It could be maybe a military veteran that was forced to take life in a war. That's an excellent verse to show to them. Maybe a mother who's had an abortion and all they can see is what the terrible thing that they've done and they can't erase it from their mind. That's a wonderful verse to take to them and give them some comfort. Amen? God commends his love towards all of us. And so those are good verses to share with people that are struggling about their past. On the other hand, we shouldn't give any false comfort to someone by telling them that they're not so bad. I remember trying to witness to a teenager in the same room with her mother and grandmother. Oh. And I started talking to the teenager, and then the mother interrupted and said, "Honey, you're not that bad." And then the mother said to the grandmother, "Do you think I'm a bad person?" And then the grandmother weakened and said, "No, honey, you're a good person." And I was sit there, say, "Well, pass the tea and coffee. I don't think I'm going to get around this tonight." But we are not to give false hope to people, because everyone needs Christ. I mean, you can be a very nice person, nice in the community. You could have good morals. You could have been brought up right. But we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we've been born on this planet, we have a sin nature. Amen? And so we need the new birth. Someone might say, "My heart is too hard. My conscience is too bad. God couldn't save me. My heart is too hard. My life is too hard." And a good thing to tell them is, then you're telling me you're lost. If your heart is hard and your life is hard, then you are lost. And Luke chapter 19:10 says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so he's come to seek and to save you. Another good verse for those that think they're too hard is John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." So if they think they're too hard to come to Christ, you can ask them, "Well, if you came to Christ and he accepted you, isn't that a good thing?" And so that's a good verse talking about Christ will accept all that come to him. And so their part is to come, and God's part is to accept. And it's always a good idea to also say that God won't do your part, and you can't do God's part. God will not do your part. Your part's to come. Even in unbelief, just come. God's part is to save. And that's something that we cannot do his part by religion. We can't do his part by anything on our own. That's something that only God can do, but our part's to come. We could also go to Exodus chapter 36. Exodus 36, 26 and 27. Exodus 36. And 26 and 27, actually I copied the wrong verses, but it talks about a new heart, God giving his people a new heart. I'll look it up for you later, but if someone says that my heart is so bad, it's too hard, then how about if God gives you a new heart? Would you be willing to accept a new heart? Sometimes that gets through. Maybe someone you know says, I have to become better before I accept Christ. I can't come now. My life's messed up. Let me work on it. I'm not good enough to come to the Lord. And this is a real difficulty to many people. They feel like they've got to improve their life to be worthy to come to the Lord. A good verse is in Matthew chapter 9 and verses 12 and 13. And that's the verse on the physician and healing. "But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them that they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." And so, who is the doctor in this verse? Well, the doctor is Jesus, right? And so who needs a doctor? Sick people. Do well people need a doctor or sick people? And the obvious answer is sick people. And so should sick people wait till they get well to see a doctor? Unfortunately, many times it comes too late. I've known people, and you, so have you probably, that should have went to the doctor. I think of one fellow right now who passed away this summer. He was sick for a long time, didn't want to go to the doctor, never went to a doctor, never had anything nice to say about doctors, and died of cancer because he waited too long. But so you could say to this person, do you wait to get better to see the doctor? You go when you're sick. And they say, well, when you're sick, it's the time to go. Well, Jesus is the doctor. Right. And so don't put it off. He'll take you now. He invites you to come as you are. There's no better time, so don't wait. And just a couple more tonight. Someone might say, well, I'd be a Christian, but I don't think I'll live the Christian life. It's too hard. I couldn't hold out. A person may say this when there may be some other problem that's keeping them from coming to the Lord. But if we go to Jude verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. That's a great verse, isn't it? And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And that's a good verse to explain that it's God that holds us up. It's God that presents us. And also 1 Peter 1:5 for this particular type of individual. 1 Peter 1:5. 1 Peter 1:5. Anybody have it? Like to read it? 1 Peter 1:5. Got it? Mm-hmm. Derek, go ahead.
Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
All right. So whose power are they kept by? Mm-hmm. God's power, right? So it's not a question of our strength, but it's a question of God's power. And you could ask them, do you think God is able to keep you by his power? Is he powerful enough to keep you? And of course the answer is yes. Maybe someone thinks that it's just a particular thing, a sin, would be too strong and they could not resist that temptation, so why try? There are people like this that have that idea about alcohol or maybe drugs or some other addiction. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is a good verse to show them that God is more than able to help them when those temptations come. There's no temptation taken to you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. Amen? That you may be able to bear it.
What's the last one you said? Corinthians?
1 Corinthians 10:13. Maybe someone says, I'd be a Christian, but I couldn't hold out. I just don't think I could hold out. Well, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 29. You can jot that down. I'll read it to you. Isaiah 40 and verse number. Isaiah 40:29. No, it's not. I got the wrong verse. I'm gonna have to go back and give you a couple more over. All right. Well, I'll go back on that one. How about someone says, I can't give up my sinning? Well, there's only one answer for that excuse, and that is they must or perish. There's no in between. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And so you can encourage them that they can give up their old life. God will help them in their new life. John chapter 8, verse 36. John chapter 8 and verse 36. Some of these verses may be just the very encouragement that some people need to hear to help them overcome whatever Satan has put in their mind why they can't come to the Lord. But John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And so maybe you've run across someone who said, I tried being a Christian, but I failed at it, and I'm afraid to try again. Sometimes a person will say that. A good verse is 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That might be the very promise that they need to come back to the Lord and to restore their fellowship with the Lord. So there is a way to try and not fail. And maybe there was a particular cause in their failing that they would be willing to discuss to you. But maybe they didn't trust 100% in the finished work of Christ. Maybe they made a profession of faith, but in their mind they're thinking, I'm trusting in what Jesus did and plus what I can do, instead of just Jesus, his finished work on Calvary, 100%. Maybe they failed to confess Christ publicly. That's so important in the Christian life, that we confess him openly and publicly. And it's one of the great things of a congregational song service, is we are, at the same time, we're confessing with our mouth our faith. Amen? And it does us good, and it is essential in the Christian life that we do that. And even on a daily basis, it's good for us. But it's so vital that one of the reasons, many reasons why we're to come to church, but the opportunity to publicly confess Christ openly together. And so maybe you can ask them, did you neglect your Bible? Usually the answer is yes. If they started out in the Christian life and failed, they've probably neglected their Bible, and they neglected their prayer life. And you could share with them 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing, okay? Pray all the time. And that will help you to stay on the road of the Christian life. Lastly, maybe someone says, the Christian life is just too hard. I'd be a Christian, but it's just too hard. You know, that's what the devil wants people to think, because it's the sinner's life that's hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. It's a hard life when you disobey God. It's a hard life when you go in your own way and running into the same wall all the time. It's a hard life when you're sinning and doing what you know is wrong, and you know you're going to reap what you sow. You know you're going to reap more than you sow. On the contrary, Jesus said, my yoke is light, right? All the ways of the Lord are peace and joy. And so it's good. Couple of verses you could share with them. You could share with them Matthew 11:30. Matthew 11:30. Let me just turn there. Matthew 11:30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Proverbs 3:17. Proverbs 3:17 talks about God's ways or ways of peace, I believe. Which forsaketh, let me see, 3:17. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness. All her paths are peace. And then lastly, 1 John 5:3. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And so the Christian life is a life of joy. And so there are a lot of reasons that Satan puts in the minds of people to blind them, but if we could shed a little light towards them, and might be helpful to them, all right? All right, we'll take some prayer requests tonight and then break into our prayer groups. Let me turn this off.